we grow in the Word, we're making impact as we serve the Lord.
We thank God for the power that's found in the resurrection. I'd like to share a word with you today. This word is found in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and we're going to be looking at verse 24. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. It's a pretty lengthy read, but I think it's so important for us today. Luke chapter 24, verse 13 through 35. So go ahead and grab your Bibles if you can, if you have that next to you. Go ahead and grab your Bible and maybe a pen and a notebook so that you can take some notes along with this. The title of our message today is The Resurrection, and I'm talking specifically about encouragement during a discouraging time. Encouragement during a discouraging time. And it's found in Luke chapter 24. And it's a lengthy read, so I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm reading from the New King James, and it says this. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you are having with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happen there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And a certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Move by your spirit in its delivery and encourage our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I like this passage of scripture because many people are familiar with the passage I read in Matthew where the woman went to the tomb. And some of you are familiar even in John where Jesus reveals himself to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. But not a lot of people are familiar with these two men and their relationship to Jesus and the resurrection. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to kind of share with you from their perspective what happened. And we're going to look at how that applies to us today. The story starts off with these two men. And what's interesting about these two is these men are discouraged. Remember, Jesus asked, what are you talking about that you're so sad? These men were discouraged. And I want to let you know that there are people that are discouraged today. Some of you may have logged in today because you are discouraged. I mean, in fact, this is the first Easter service that I've ever experienced not inside of a building with other people. This is the very first time I've ever had an Easter worship service in my home. Think about that. Many of us are still sheltering in place. In fact, here in California, this is the 27th day of those of us in the Bay Area who are sheltered in place. There are a lot of things that are going on as a result of us wanting to stop the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic. And as such, we're sheltering in place and we're doing the right thing. And I just want to encourage you all who are out there doing the right thing, keep doing the right thing. The best defense for us is to separate, to stay in our places, in our homes, and not communicate or not connect, excuse me, not engage physically with many people. That's the best remedy for us all here today. And the reason I say that is because some seem to still take that lightly, but I want to encourage you, continue to shelter in place. Hallelujah. Now, what's interesting is even today, the United States has reached a new milestone in that there are more deaths in the United States than there are in Italy now. In fact, there are over 20,000 to date. And so we're living in some very challenging times, and many people are discouraged. For the first time, all of our states of the union are under this federal disaster declaration. We're all under it. There are some people that were resisting, but we're all there now, ladies and gentlemen. And for many people, it is discouraging. I've been video conferencing with several people throughout these times, this time of being sheltered in place. And I just had a text conversation with someone earlier this morning, and they say, I'll be glad when this is over so I can hug people again. I can see people face to face again. And we all yearn, we desire to connect again in a very physical way. And it's very difficult for some people to undergo this without being impacted negatively. The men in our story are discouraged. They are discouraged as many of us here today are discouraged. But I find some things in their discouragement that you and I want to guard against, some things that you and I want to be aware of. And there are four observations about discouragement that we discover with this the story of these two men and Jesus. Number one, discouragement can cause you to lose sight of relationships. Let me say that again. Discouragement can cause you to lose sight of relationships. Look at what happens here in Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus. Well, what day are you talking about, Pastor Will? Well, this is the day that Christ rose from the dead, because earlier on in that same chapter of Luke, that's where the angel tells the ladies that Christ is risen. He's no longer here. But see, these men don't hear that story. These men are not aware of the visual representation of Christ. They hear it from the ladies, but they are discouraged. And as such, they dismiss themselves from the others who are still there in Jerusalem. By the way, many people were there. Many followers of Jesus were there because they were crucifying him. And this was a big event, by the way. It wasn't a silent thing in that they were crucifying Jesus. All of his followers, many of them from far and near, were right there in Jerusalem because they were watching the crucifixion. So here, these men who would have been with the others, they decide, we're going to Emmaus. We're going to Emmaus. See, let me just say this. We need human interaction. We do humans. We need human interaction. Two are better than one. In fact, in the garden, God said it's not good that man should be alone. So he formed woman that they would be comparable to one another. See, we need human interaction. We need community. But one thing about discouragement, oftentimes when you and I are discouraged, that's when we have the inclination or the propensity to pull away from others. I had a recent conversation with a person that I hadn't heard from in a while. And I was talking to him and I asked him, hey, you know, haven't heard from him. And he said, well, you know, I was going through this and I was going through this and I was going through this. And I said, well, why didn't you let us know? Why didn't you make it known? And he had his reasons for doing that, for not letting it be known. In part, it's because many people want us to only see the good in their lives. And when we experience challenge, when we experience trial, when we experience confusion or doubt or fear, and in some cases we have a tendency to pull away because those things are associated with being weak. Those things are associated with having a lack of faith. And here the men are pulling away. When believers allow themselves to be preoccupied with their circumstances or preoccupied with their frustrations or preoccupied with their pains, preoccupied with their issues, they have a tendency, if you will, to withdraw from others. But I want to encourage you today to fight against that tendency. Joe mentioned that we're having a coffee time with Pastor Will. It's online. And some of you know that even though these messages go out into the internet, we're primarily focusing on our church. We are focusing on our church that those who are familiar with Impact Church, we have worship service online just the way we do at church. Now, we're not excluding anyone. We're just letting you know the focus is at home. Jesus said that we will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the other most parts of the world. Well, our church is our Jerusalem. So we minister to Jerusalem first. And I want to encourage you, if you're feeling disconnected, would you log on to Zoom if you can? You can log on with your phone. You can log on with your tablet. You can log on with your laptop. You can even call in on a landline. Some of us are old school, but you need to be connected. God desires that you and I would be connected. And don't allow this time of trial, this time of confusion in some people's case, this time of hurt in other people's cases, in despair. Don't allow this to isolate you. Even though we're secluded in our homes, if you will, we can still make the connection. And I want to encourage you to do that. Reach out. There was a song that said, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place if you can. Some of you remember that. If you remember that, wave your hand in the air. I see those hands there. Yeah, I see those hands. We want to be able to connect. Why? Because the inclination, if you will, is for us to begin to withdraw when we go through situations. When we're discouraged, oftentimes we will withdraw. I like what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says this about us believers, that we are to not forsake assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhort one another. See, we need each other. We need to exhort one another. We need to encourage one another. He says, but exhorting one another as so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see that there? Here, God wants us to encourage one another. He wants us to exhort one another, but he also wants us to encourage others. Why? We are the light of the world and we are the salt of the earth. and we're trusting our God. As the video clip showed, how many people had gone through devastating events, devastating trials. However, they were still able to hold on to God's unchanging hand. So number one, discouragement can cause you to lose sight of relationships. Number two, discouragement can cause you to lose focus. It can. Look at what it says here, Luke chapter 24. Now let's look at verse 14. We're just dropping down to verse 14 and 15 and 16. Look at what it says. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Everybody see that there? Now, I don't know exactly what restrained their eyes, but I'll tell you this. There are some things that can restrain your eyes and my eyes. Sometimes we focus on the problem more than we focus on the answer. Sometimes we focus more on the trouble and we fail to see the solution. Oh, I know that it doesn't look good for many in our country today, but I want to encourage you today that God is still on the throne. He's sovereign. He's still on the throne. And it doesn't mean that people won't hurt. It doesn't mean they won't experience pain. It doesn't even mean that people won't lose their lives as a result of complications of the COVID-19 pandemic. It doesn't mean that. What it means is God is always there. The psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So although we're exposed to the same catastrophe, if you will, people of God have God with them. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, come on, give the Lord a hand praise. If God be for you, what can be against you? Who can be against you? What can separate you from his love? Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So there's times that when people are discouraged, there's times we can lose focus. But I want to encourage you to look to God. Focus on God. I love what 2 Chronicles chapter 20 says. Now, the backstory is one of God's kings is up against an enemy that far outnumbers them, and he really doesn't know what to do. And I love that. I love that. We don't try to have all the answers. God has all the answers. Some people, I heard just this week, somebody told me, yeah, you think this pandemic is God's judgment on America? And I say, well, it's a little broader than that, but I think God is doing a variety of things. And I've mentioned it once before that God didn't cause the virus, sin in the earth and death by sin. And the fact that death is part of the whole sin that we fell into, and disease is associated with death. Mortality is associated with death, that we know. So I'm not saying God caused it, but I am saying this once again, because people are saying that. You think this is judgment on America? No. I think this is a time for people to draw near to God. It's a time where for people to see their mortality and say, you know what? I believe there's someone or something that's far above me. And I want to know who that something or that someone is. The Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, the king, he says this, he's up against an army that far outnumbers him. And look at what he says. He says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. You see that there? He had no power. And then he goes on and he says, nor do we know what to do. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. When I got the news about the shelter in place, I was in Georgia. I wasn't even here in California, and I didn't know what to do. But God said, Will, you need to chill and you need to trust me. See, when we don't know what to do, it's okay to not know what to do, because we know God and he knows what he desires to happen for you and for me. He's sovereign. He will cause all things to work together for what? Good to those that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Look at what he says here. He says, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Oh, hallelujah. I may not know what to do. I may not know what to say. I may not know what's going to happen. I may not know how it's going to go down. But one thing I do is I look to God, the author and finisher of my faith. I love the psalmist, Psalm number 121. We don't have it there, but that's okay. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, creator of heaven and earth, and he shall not suffer my foot to be moved. He who keeps me neither sleeps nor slumber. Who do I look to? I look to my Savior. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand praise. Oh, yes. This is who we look to, ladies and gentlemen. We hear the news, but we look to God. We see what's going around us, but we look to God. We may even, some of you may be in a quarantine. Some of you may be even fighting for your life. And I am not being callous to that plight. What I'm saying is even in every breath that you're trying to grasp to fight against this, I want to encourage you to look to God, that you would look to God, that you would look to God. So number one, discouragement can cause us to lose sight of relationships. Number two, discouragement can cause us to lose focus. And number three, discouragement can cause us to lose hope. It can. Look at what happened. Remember when Jesus, the men are walking and he sees that they're sad in Luke chapter 24, verse 19. And he said to them, and this is Jesus, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And look at what it says here. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. You see that there? Here, their hope was dashed. See, discouragement has an opportunity, if you will, to cause you and I to lose hope. And look at what he says. Indeed, besides all of this, today is the third day since these things happened. In other words, if there was anything that was going to happen, it would have happened at least by now. Something would have happened by now. Something would have taken place by now, but it's been 3 days and we're going to Emmaus. Oh, think about that. See, when you lose hope, you lose ambition. Oh, glory to God. When you lose hope, you run the risk of losing your purpose. You run the risk of losing your drive. You run the risk of losing your desire when you lose hope. The Bible tells us hope deferred makes a heart sick. And when we lose our hope, there's so many things that happen to you and I. There's so many things that we can involve ourselves in to try to gain some kind of pseudo hope, if you will. Many people get involved with promiscuity or several relationships or maybe even alcohol or maybe drugs or workaholism or other things to try to fill a void that hope has left. But I want to encourage you, there's only one person that can fill that void, because that void is really a God-shaped void in your heart. Hope in the Lord. I love what Psalm number 31 says. Psalm number 31. I want you to write that down in your Bible. Look at what it says. Psalm number 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful. You see that there? That's a promise to you and I. And fully repays the proud. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Oh, I pray that you get that in your spirit today, that you would hope in the Lord, regardless of where you are and how you are impacted by this pandemic. No matter where you are, you may be free and clear and just sheltering in place in your home with many provisions. You have all the stock you need. You have all the things you need. You're kind of enjoying the downtime. You don't have a financial struggle. Everything is fine. From there all the way to the point of you might be gasping for breath. I want to encourage you, hope in the Lord. Some have already lost loved ones. One of our members just yesterday sent me information about someone they knew. The man has passed on from the COVID virus, and His wife, who is survived by him, has it as well. And so we're praying for that family. In fact, we're praying for the Ramirez family, and we're praying for other families, other people that are impacted by this. See, I am not saying, oh, because we love the Lord, nothing is going to happen. What I'm saying is, because we love the Lord, God is with us no matter the circumstance. Regardless of what goes on, God is with us. And you know what? They can't take our soul. Oh, glory to God. Jesus said it this way. Don't fear him who could take the body, but fear him who could take your body and throw your body into hell. That's the person you need to fear. Amen. And so here, we're not being insensitive to those who have lost loved ones. In fact, we're including that in our prayer time, praying for those who have lost people. And what's interesting about that, they've lost them not being able to be by their bedside, not being able to hold their hand, not being able to wipe their brow, not being able to wipe their tear. People have passed away not connected to family. That's devastating, ladies and gentlemen. And we need to continue to pray for folks that have experienced that kind of loss, because there's some things that they'll have to reconcile in their hearts not being there. Some would say, I should have broke the law. I should have broke into the place to where my spouse was to see them on their last days. You know, we as human beings, we think a lot of things. Pray. Would you pray? Would you believe God for the healing of their heart and that he would comfort their soul? So hope in the Lord. And then number four, discouragement can cause you to lose faith. Discouragement can cause you to lose faith. Look at Luke 24, verse 25 and 27. Look what it says. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." You see that there? That's what he said. He said, slow of heart to believe. In other words, they're not believing what the prophecy said about the Christ. He says in verse 26, "Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Oh, it's so good that Jesus comforted these men during their time of discouragement. But let me let you know, this is where the story changes. The men are no longer discouraged. Now, it changes for the men, but it also changes for you and it changes for me, because this is Resurrection Day. Some people call it Easter. I know what it means. Doesn't matter how you call it. He is risen. Amen. And let me let you know that at one time, you and I were sentenced to death. That's what the Bible says. You and I were sentenced to death. In fact, Romans chapter 5 says it this way. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and death spread to all men." Why? Because all sin. Look at Romans 3:23. It says this, "And for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You see that there? We all had a death sentence over our head, if you will. But I want to let you know, Jesus died in our place. Look at that. Jesus died in our place. The judgment for the sin, which was death, was placed on Jesus. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Look at what it says here. "But God," hallelujah, "he demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still what? Sinners, Christ died for us." Oh, praise God. And you know what? The resurrection ensures that you and I have eternal life. Why? Well, Christ, he paid the sin debt. He died for us while we were yet sinners. And now he's risen from the dead. And that is the guarantee that you and I will rise again. Look at John chapter 3. And some of you know this so plainly. You know it so clearly. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look at that. And then look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. When Jesus is talking to Lazarus' sister about Lazarus coming back, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Oh, hallelujah. See, our sin debt has been taken care of. The penalty of death has been paid by Jesus, and because he rose from the dead, you and I will raise in newness of life. This is why he can say, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Why? Because of the resurrection. We live new life, as Romans tells us, that we who have died with him were buried with him. By baptism, we raise up in newness of life. As Christ raised from the dead, you and I have an opportunity to walk in newness of life. Glory to God. So doesn't matter, really, let me just say it this way. It really doesn't matter what happens here on earth, because earth is not our home. It's we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. However, God has us here on earth to fulfill his will. And his will is that we would be light in the world, that we would be salt in the earth, that we would be instruments of his peace, and that we would be instruments of his love, that we would be vessels of honor, that we would share his joy, that we would bring about peace to people's situations, that we would reflect him to a dying, lost world. Oh, give the Lord a hand, praise. That's his desire. His desire, we're not of the world, as the Bible says. We're in the world, but not of it. But we don't excuse the world. We say, okay, God, what is the opportunity that you have for me here in the earth? I know I'm a citizen of a heavenly kingdom, but what will you have me do here on earth? Oh, I pray that you're getting that in your spirit this morning. What will God have you do right now? I received a phone call this week, and I'm so thankful. But I was right in the middle of a video conference, and I couldn't answer the phone. But I later asked my wife, I said, well, who was it on the phone? And she told me, and I'm going to mention one name. I got to give a shout out. It was Mother Smith. Mother Smith was calling to check on Pastor Will and Sister Jackie. Isn't that something? I say, Lord, you are so good. And so many other people have been checking in, and we've been touching bases. What can you do in that? Who can you call? Who can you connect to? Who can you encourage? Who can you pray with on the phone? It doesn't have to be the video conference. Who can you FaceTime that really needs to hear a word of encouragement? Who can you just dial up and say, hey, you know what? How are you doing around this time? I was just thinking about you, and I want to say a prayer with you. Lord, I thank you for us connecting. Let your will be done. Keep them safe in Jesus' name. See, it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Who can you connect with? What does God desire to do with you during this time through the power of the resurrection? So I'm going to continue on. So I'm so thankful that Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, may live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Paul says it this way in the New Testament. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. See, there it is. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, that's a greater hope that we have, ladies and gentlemen, that one of these days this is going to be over. One of these days. But until then, we will occupy. Until then, we will pray without ceasing. Until then, we will hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. Until then, we will be light in the world and salt in the earth. So I'd like to close with these two things that the resurrected Savior did for these men, because their discouragement turned into encouragement, and they were encouraged. The first thing they did is the resurrected Savior restored their hope. That's what he did. He restored their hope. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said to one another, now this is after the conversation that they've had with Jesus, and Jesus has broke bread, and they realized it was him. Look at what they did. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us. You see that there? Their hope is restored. How do you know their hope was restored, Pastor Will? Remember I told you that discouragement caused them to isolate from the others? Well, look at what they do. Verse 33. So they rose up that very hour. See, that very hour they came to this recollection, and the resurrected Savior taught them the word of God and taught them that the Savior had to go through what he had to go through to enter into his glory. And it says that they returned to Jerusalem and they found the 11 and those who were gathered together with them. You see that there? Here, these men, their hope was restored. They're saying, hey, we saw Jesus. Let's get back to what he said we would do. And number two, well, let me say this. The resurrection gives you and me hope. It does. It does. The resurrection gives you and me hope regardless of where we are. I love this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. It says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope. There it is. So how, why, and how do we have a hope? Why do we have a hope, and how do we have a hope? Well, it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, Jesus told Lazarus' sister, he said, I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, you will never die. That's the hope you and I have. Oh, glory to God. I know that one of these days, I'm going to be out of here. I'm going to be taken out of here. I pray that God gives me long life, and looking at my mom is still living and my dad is still living. It looks like I'm on a course for that long life, but God's will be done. And I pray that I have good long life. But one of these days when this life is over, as the song say, I'll fly away. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. One of these days I will cease to be here, but I know where I will be. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And he says, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you will be also. So we know that we have a hope in our God. And he says this, that he's given us a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Hallelujah. I see somebody in the chat. Hallelujah. Hey, praise the Lord. Yes. We can give God a hand praise and a hallelujah. Why? Because we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. And guess where it is? It's reserved in heaven for you and for me. Oh, glory to God. Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. This is not our final resting place. This is not, you remember those, some of you might remember those series of movies, Final Destination. And in Final Destination, these people would die in really weird ways because of something that they couldn't cheat death. And they, you know, the only thing that the movie got right is you can't cheat death. You really can't. But you can have victory over death through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, the book of Corinthians tells us that he took the sting out of death and he took victory from the grave. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. One of these days, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. Why? Because of the resurrection. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, we would be people most miserable. But because he did raise from the dead, hallelujah, we should be people that have joy on the inside. Joy that's unspeakable joy. Joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Why? Because it comes from our relationship with our God. It comes from our relationship through Jesus Christ. And it comes from the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. So you ask the question, what does hope do for mankind? Well, I like John Maxwell from his book, Think on These Things. He says this, hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sweetens while bitterness bites. Hope sings when all melodies are gone. Hope believes when evidence is eliminated. Hope listens for answers when no one is talking. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is helping. Hope endures hardship when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one is sharing. And hope brings the victory when no one is winning. That's what hope does. And you and I have a lively hope. Regardless of your circumstance, regardless of your situation, we have a lively hope. So the resurrected Savior, he restored their hope. And the last thing the resurrected Savior did is he restored their faith. He restored their faith. Look at Luke chapter 24, and this is our last scripture, 34 and 35. Remember, they went back to Jerusalem, these two men. They went back to Jerusalem saying, "The Lord is risen indeed." See, their faith is intact. "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. You see this here? Here, these men became witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what's interesting, they became witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the disciples. They went back to Jerusalem saying, "Yes, we've seen him. Yes, he's been with us. Yes, our hope is restored. Yes, our faith is restored." Hallelujah. It is told that the great preacher D.L. Moody said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday it would come down and strike me like lightning," which many people do, by the way. "But faith didn't seem to come. One day I read in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." He continues, "I had up to this time closed my Bible and prayed for faith. Now I open my Bible and begin to study, and faith has been growing ever since. A, my Bible tells me that Jesus would be crucified, and he was. B, my Bible tells me that Jesus would raise from the dead, and he did on the third day. C, my Bible tells me that because Jesus rose from the dead, that one day I will rise from the dead, and I will. D, my Bible tells me because Jesus rose from the dead, I have victory in my life, and I do." I pray that that's your proclamation today. That we believe this because the Bible tells us, and we trust God's word by faith, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Here, what has the resurrected Savior done for you? You might be new to this. You might be saying, "Well, Pastor Will, you know, this is my first time really hearing an Easter message and it's a little untraditional." Well, hey, this is the world we live in. This is untraditional to have an Easter service in our own homes, but see it piped in on a TV screen or television screen, a computer screen, or even an iPad or phone screen, right? A smart device screen. But God is speaking to your heart. And I want to encourage you. You say, "Well, Pastor Will, you know, I didn't know that Jesus did so much for me. And I didn't know that the resurrection included so much." Believe me, this is just one facet of the resurrection. There's so much more. But you're saying, "You know, Pastor Will, I didn't know that God did that for me, that he sent his son to die for me." Now, and I've heard it, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. But that rose from the dead was more of a phrase than it was something that I really could comprehend. And if that be you, you say, "You know, now I understand a little more about what the resurrection is and how it's impacted me." And you've never asked for Jesus Christ to come into your life. I want to give you an opportunity as every head is bowed in your home. Every head is bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this message that you've given us, Lord, to really hear about the resurrection and how we go from discouragement to encouragement. as we go from hopelessness to being hopeful, as we go from being people whose faith is challenged to being people who are living by faith. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to understand that dynamic through these two men that are actually never even mentioned again in Scripture. Thank you for this story that we've read. Now, Lord, let it apply to us wherever we are. If you've never accepted Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer with you, and you can pray this prayer with me. Jesus, come into my life. I believe this story. I believe that you died to pay my sin debt, as I just heard Pastor Will say. I believe you were buried and God raised you from the dead, because this is the day we celebrate that resurrection. And I pray that you come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I thank you for saving me. Forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. And you live your life through me. I yield myself to you in Jesus' name. Every head still bow, every eye still closed. There are many believers that are on this call today, and I'm so thankful that you are. Let me ask you this. Where are you? Where are you? Some of us were motivated by fear when we first heard what was going on, right? And then some just kind of isolated and secluded. Where are you in this? Are you doing what God desires you do? Are you where he desires you to be? And if you say, well, Pastor, I really don't know. Let's pray. Father, I pray for those that are on the call and they don't quite know what you have for them to do or be or how you would use them. Lord, I pray that you would speak to them in their heart of hearts and that you would encourage them. Some can provide comfort for others, and others can communicate, Lord. Move on their hearts. Show them in their spiritual mind's eye what you desire that they would do during this time. For you've called us in this world to be light. How can we shine during this time, Lord? And I pray that you would answer that for each and every one. Hallelujah. Now, there's some of you who are sick. Some of you who have been fighting, and or you know those who are, as one of our members shared with me yesterday, you may be coming in contact with people who are fighting for their lives, or you may know relatives. I just found out today, this morning, that one of my relatives passed away back in February. I didn't even know. And so you might be like connected with people who are losing loved ones. Let's pray for them first. And then I want to encourage you to be able to pray with them or call them. Give them a word of encouragement, a comfort. Father, I pray for those who have lost loved ones, Lord. Didn't even know it would happen. Just a month ago, they were living and alive and well and seemed like everything was well. And so I pray that you would comfort those that they leave behind, Lord. The Bible tells us that you are the God of all comfort and you are the Father of mercies. Comfort their hearts as only you can, Lord. If you want to send us to make that phone call or to send that letter or do that FaceTime, send us, Lord. Let us encourage them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.